talking about love. Amen?
Amen.
And we are going to continue talking about love. I'd love for you to turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, or if you have your app in which you use or find the Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. It is just one of the places that we are going to stop today as we examine love. Ephesians chapter 3. And it really is a prayer that is presented by the Apostle Paul, where he is praying that the people of God would understand the magnitude of God's love for us. In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 14, I want to read this from the NIV, and you're able to keep your seat. It's okay. You can keep your seat, because we're going to be moving various places. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 14. It says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love." What are you rooted and established in?
Love.
"May have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." Did you get those dimensions? He covered them all, right? He said how what?
Wide.
What else?
And
what else?
High.
And what else?
And deep.
Wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love, watch what it goes past, that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Paul is saying, I desire this. I am praying this for you as a child of God, that you might know. Amen?
Amen.
This morning, I want us to focus on this thought, sowing seeds of love. Sowing seeds of love. I am not going to try and preach this text expositionally. It means I'm not going to look at this and go verse by verse talking about what this says, because what Paul has said is that he is praying that you and I would be rooted and established in love. He gives us the dimensions. He said, wide, long, high, and deep. Amen. He covers that. And he talks about this love that he is referring to as the kind of love that surpasses knowledge. This is more than just a head knowledge. It is something that is a felt thing that you and I experience. Now, he said, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name." Amen. I need you to turn over in your Bibles again to 1 John. 1 John. And I want you to go to chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Because where there's a family, there's a daddy or a father, right? There's a mother. And out of that comes children. Amen. Some of us like to, everybody, we know that God is the creator and the giver of life. And sometimes we because we are such loving people, we want to lump everybody in the category of we're all God's children. But Jesus was very straight up when he was dealing with folks back in his time when he would walk upon the earth. He had the audacity to say to some folks, "You are children of the devil." That's what he said. He didn't say all y'all God. He said you a child of the devil. And you're like, well, why are you going to say that? He said, because you lying. And anybody who lies, that's the devil's language. You are doing what he does. You are speaking his language. You a child of the devil. You're like, the reason you don't know me and recognize me is because you are not God's child. Now, I know that's hard language because we want to think that everybody belongs to God. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that Jesus made it clear. Now, there are some folk. There are some folk that really don't belong to him. And that is by their choice. It is not by God's choice. It is by their choice because they reject the one who gave them life. And Jesus was making it plain. Be careful. Don't you and I go around lumping everybody into the family of God. If Jesus didn't lump everybody in the family of God, you and I ought not be undoing what Jesus did. Amen. Now, he's given us the mission of trying to get everybody into the family of God. That's part of our mission. But don't be lumping them in there, right? Because there are some folk who just don't act like God's children. And when they're not acting like God's children, don't you be trying to. You one of God's kids. Okay. Are you there at 1 John chapter 3? In 1 John chapter 3, I just want you to go down to verse number 10. Well, when you have a chance, I encourage you to read all of that chapter because, again, it's a rich chapter that talks about the greatness of God's love. But I want you to go down to verse number 10 in 1 John chapter 3. Look at what it says. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God. That's not popular stuff right there. Because we want to be children of God and still do what we want to do. But he says, anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God. Nor, look at this next part, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Wow. Wow. So we're going to be spending the next 40 plus days just studying love and what love is. We're not studying it for academic reasons. We're studying it because we want the love of God to permeate our being so much so that we reap the benefit of what love does. Listen, this is the key thought. When you sow seeds of love, you reap the harvest of love. When you sow seeds of love, you reap the harvest of love. It is in Galatians chapter 6 where Paul says again, you and I should not be mocked. Do not be mocked. A man or a woman, a person reaps what he or she sows. And if you and I then will sow seeds of love, we then will reap the harvest of love. What Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 3, the passage that we actually read, is part of the harvest of love. It is part of you being rooted and established. Okay? You're rooted and established in God's love. And when you're tied into him, then the love of God spreads through you, such that he brings healing and wholeness to every broken area of your life. See, the harvest of love is healing and wholeness in every broken area of your life. The harvest of love is restoration in everything that has died in your life. When you become a recipient of God's love, what then you experience is what passes. Remember what he said? It surpasses knowledge. And that because of the love that is flowing in you and through you, there is an amazing healing that is taking place. Brothers and sisters, if you want to experience God's best for your life, what he desired, his best for your life, then you've got to live in an atmosphere of love. You have to be a practitioner of love. You've got to be a doer of love. You can't just talk about love. We must actually do love. Amen? Love as a lifestyle, not as a holiday. Okay? It has to be a lifestyle and not a holiday. Listen, according to some studies, it was estimated that about $20.7 billion was going to be spent celebrating love this past Thursday. That's a lot of money, isn't it? $20.7 billion. In fact, last year in 2018, it was $19.2 billion that was spent on love. You know, that's what Valentine's is all about, love, isn't it? It's all about this romantic love. And as some folks say, they've just come up with another holiday so that they can get your money. Amen. And according to this, there was a ton of dollars being shelled out across. Here's the sad part. Folks who spent those dollars shelling out that money will only love one day a week. That's the sad part. They'll only, one day a year. They'll only love. And by the way, most of that money was tied to trying to get a hustle on. Amen. Amen. Most of it was. It was not all of it. There were some that were real and legit like mine. Yeah. You know, I also sold into that estimated $20 billion. I had a little bit that went into that because I wasn't going to have First Lady Manita looking at me like, have you lost your mind? I'm not crazy. But it was a genuine expression of the love that I have for her, just to say, you my Valentine, you have been for over 36 years and you still my Valentine. Amen. And so I'm celebrating her love on that a day, but it's more than one day a year. It's on the regular. Amen. And for you and me, it has to be a lifestyle, that it can't be just we've identified a day to celebrate love, so let's celebrate love. And you know, most of these folks celebrated love by going out and they were buying candy, they were buying flowers, they were buying jewelry, all of those kind of things that they were investing in as expressions of love. But I got to tell you that love is truly expressed in sacrifice. Yeah. Amen. That's where love truly comes in. It is in sacrifice. It's not necessarily what you buy for me, but it's actually what you do to help me and to love me. Amen. Amen. And what we want to learn out of our study of love is how we can sow real seeds of love and not temporary seeds of love. Amen. By the way, in our study this morning, our facilitator, Dr. Rick Warren, laid out for us three important truths about what love is. He talked about why it should be important to us. He said, first of all, love is the supreme value of life. Okay, that's the first thing. And he grabs that from the truth of what Jesus declared, that when he talked about the most important commandment in the Bible was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. When you look at that truth, he says, love is the supreme value in life. He also said that love is the primary objective in life. That you and I were created to love and to be expressions of God's love. So that of all that we do in life, we need to make sure that love becomes one of the primary objectives of our lives. That means that we need to be regular sowers of love. And then he gave us that number three was love is the greatest power in life. Love is the greatest power in life. When you talk about a change agent, there is no change agent like love. That you can love people. And it has the power that nothing else has. Amen. And so out of these truths, you and I are going to be learning to cultivate, if you will, love. Sow seeds of love. I need to take you to one other place before we go to the end. And that's in Luke. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, down at verse number 25, it speaks to the very verse or the concept that I was just talking about, where Jesus talked about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. It was a teacher of the law, when you get there, a teacher of the law, who had came and asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asked the man, what is written in the law? He said, how do you read it? And the man answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Amen. Sowing seeds of love will enable you to reap the harvest of love. Jesus said to this guy, if you do what you just declared, what did the guy say? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. What did Jesus say? You have answered correctly. Follow the next statement he makes. Do this, and what? Do this, and you will live. Do this and you will live. Now, you know that Jesus made it clear that he came that you and I might have life. And how did he want us to have it? Have it abundantly. He says that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You know how he does that? He does that by blocking love. Because if you love, what will happen? You will live. But if you don't love. Yeah, that's right. That's what he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And how is he going to do that? He is going to disrupt unity. He is going to cause hatred and discord to flourish in your life. And when you start to allow that stuff to come up and take root in your life, suddenly you're cutting off the lifeline of love. It is as though if you were on an oxygen supply that someone actually just came and stepped on your hose and cut off your supply for life. When you and I don't love, it interrupts life. That's how serious this thing is. And what you and I learn is that God modeled, he demonstrated what love is. In fact, God said he is love. God is love. And he modeled for us what love is and what it looks like. How did he do it? John 3:16. The greatest expression of God's love. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. So that no one would perish. So that no one would have the enemy come in, steal, kill, and destroy them, but so that everyone can live, have eternal life. And so he gave his one and only son, Jesus, that we might live. Then, if that wasn't enough, Jesus then demonstrates what love looks like. He demonstrates. Because he says he gave himself up to the enemy that he would become a sacrifice for you and for me, for every person who would believe on him. He became a payment for sin, so that now the devil, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy, has no claim on you. That every time he comes to attack you, that you can say to him, the debt has been paid. Love has been lavished on me, and therefore I'm going to love the way I've been loved. Right? And so he made it possible for us then to experience life without limit. And that was through his love. And he's calling us to sow then seeds of love. And anything that would get in the way of you truly loving, he says, then you've got to take that thing and cast it out of your life. You've got to crucify it, kill it, so that it no longer interferes with your ability to love. Anything that threatens your love, you've got to get rid of it. Anything, not any person. Anything that threatens your ability to love, you must get rid of it. If it's a critical spirit that threatens your ability to love, you must get rid of your critical spirit. If it is unforgiveness that threatens your ability to love, you must forgive. You must. Why? Because it's important. Because love becomes your source then of life. Love becomes the avenue by which you experience full and complete healing and wholeness in your life. And anything that threatens that, you must put between you. Okay. So God is love. Amen. That means that the first thing you need to have in your life is God. Amen. This is the answer. The first thing you've got to have in your life is God. You can't have God in your life unless you come through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except through me. So I can't get to God, who is love, without coming through Jesus Christ, who made the way. Amen. So I must have him in my life to even be able to love. Amen. Listen, you cannot love in your own strength and power. I'm just going to tell you like it is. It is not possible for you to love in your own strength and power. And if you are disconnected from God, there is no way you're going to be able to do it. Oh, yes, you can do some loving things, but you cannot love the way God talks about us loving. You cannot love and sow seeds of love that yield the harvest of love without you being connected to the Father and him being in you. In order for it to happen, that's the way it needs to take place. You come through the Father through Jesus Christ. And then something amazing happens. Because when you come to the Father through Jesus Christ, what happens is now the Jesus and the Father says, now I will give you the Spirit who will live in you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7 says that you and I have not been given the spirit of fear, but we've been given spirit of love, power, a sound mind, spirit of love. He says that spirit which he has given to you and me gives us the ability to love the unlovable. What that means is to love others when they have even hurt us. It gives us the ability to love and prevent a blockage from taking place in our lives. Amen? And so you and I have got to understand the significance of love so that we won't allow anything to come and block or hinder the love that we allow to flow in our lives. So first we receive God's love and then we express God's love. In Luke chapter 10, where we were just reading, after the young man said to Jesus that, you know what, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, that is correct. If you do this, you will live. The young man then went on trying to justify himself, saying, then who is my neighbor? Because what Jesus had said to him was a mouthful, and he's like trying to justify himself. Then who is my neighbor? And Jesus went on to tell a parable to this young man to illustrate to him who his neighbor is. We know this parable as the parable of the Good Samaritan, because the story is told about a person who was on their way from Jerusalem to Jericho, and on the way he got robbed on the road. And it says in the parable that in this story that the man was beaten, his clothes were taken, and he was left for dead. And then Jesus describes three people that were on their way and came across this man who had been wounded and left for dead. The first one was a priest. And what he says about the priest was when the priest saw the man who was beaten and left for dead, the priest went over and crossed over on the other side so he would not have to deal with the man who had been beaten and left for dead. As if that's not bad enough, the second one he describes is a Levite. Both of these are servants of God who were intended to be demonstrators and keepers of the law of God and showing how it was supposed to work out in real life. This Levite, when he's coming up on the wounded man, looks at him and he does what the priest does. He walks over to the other side so that he won't have to deal with the man. Now, the third one that comes along is a Samaritan. And by the way, the first two have thoughts about the Samaritan, and even the man whom Jesus is talking to, they have thoughts about the Samaritans because they didn't think that the Samaritans rated as high as everybody else. They had them in a little bit lower class than everybody else. So they didn't deserve the same level of respect and honor that everybody else in their particular culture deserved. And so Jesus is using someone that they've got problems with. He says a Samaritan of all people comes along. And when he sees the man, he has compassion on him. And he doesn't go to the other side, but what he does, he goes to the man, he takes care of the man's wounds right there, and then he takes the man, he picks the man up, he puts the man up on his beast, up on his donkey, and he takes the man to the next town, and when he gets there, he puts the man up and says to the innkeeper, listen, take care of this guy, and when I come back, whatever debt is accumulated, I'll pay it. At the end of the parable, Jesus says to the man who wanted to justify himself by saying, well, then who is my neighbor? At the end of the parable, Jesus asks a simple question. Who do you think the man's neighbor was? And because it was blatantly obvious, it was the Samaritan man who stopped to help and to show mercy and love was the man's neighbor. Amen. He put all of a sudden a illustration, real life illustration, about what it looks like to sow seeds of love. He put it right there in front of them to say that, no, the one who showed him mercy was the one who loved his neighbor, not the one who went. I'm going to give the priest and I'm going to give the Levite some credit. I believe that as they went by, they prayed for the Samaritan to come. I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt that you know, because that's what they do. They prayed for the Samaritan to come. God, we hope he's okay and that he's gonna be all right until somebody who's willing to help him comes along. But you and I both know that we must both pray and act. We must pray and do. Amen. And in so doing, we sow seeds of love. Now, this is important because when I talk about sowing seeds of love and reaping the harvest of love, you need to get this in your spirit, because what you need to know is that the person that you sow the seeds of love to might not be the one that you will reap the harvest from. Now, that's important because many times, I was talking about Valentine's Day, everybody that sowed seeds of love on Valentine's Day, they were hoping to reap the harvest from the one that they sowed the seed of love to, right? Am I right about it? But listen, in this story, this Samaritan man who's sowing seeds of love on this one who had been robbed, he may never see this man again. And what he says is that when he leaves the innkeeper, he says that if by chance it is going to take you more to care for this man than what I left you, I'm going to provide for you when I return. And so his expectation is not to receive from the one that he has sown the seeds of love in. But God's principle is true. If you sow seeds of love, you will reap the harvest of love. Doesn't matter where it comes from. See, that's the truth. And the reason I say that is because you and I have got to be careful that you and I don't sow seeds of love, and then when we don't get it in return, we get mad. We get mad and we start I did this and I did that and I expected this. Whoa, come on back. Don't you see? Sow your seeds of love with an expectation that the person you sold to is going to pay you back. That's not called sowing seeds of love. That's called I'm making an investment and I'm coming back to collect. That's called you owe me. No. He's saying that you and I ought to be of the mindset that when we do good and when we sow seeds of love, that we ought not to have this expectation coming back that, oh, it's going to be reciprocal. They'll pay me back. Well, the way the Bible describes this is that, you know what? That's what folks in the world do. Even pagans do that. They take care of those who are going to take care of them. He says, no. That's not what you are to be. You are to be the image of God in all the earth, expressing the love of God wherever you go, being a light in dark places wherever you go. Why? Because you are being conformed to the image of God and you are children of God. And because God is love, that means that all of a sudden you become love too. And you don't allow any of that stuff to get in the way of you loving others. So your love, the love that you administer, is not based upon what you're going to get in return. That's important because I am letting you know, folks will not treat you the same way you treat them. You're not going to always get fair return on what you invest and what you put in and the love that you show. And you need to know up front that I'm not sowing this love so that I can get something in return. I'm sowing this love because I am a child of God and because I see someone who needs God's love and because I've been commissioned. I am an ambassador to administer God's love and grace wherever he takes me. That's why we do it. That's why. See, that keeps you from getting all caught up when your stuff is not received right. Why? Because where does your reward come from? Your Father in heaven. And if you limit him, if you limit him to only allowing him to allow you to harvest from those that you've sown into, you're cutting off what he wants to do. Oh, his supply is so big. It is immeasurable. And when you love without limit, he loves you without limit. He lavishes it up on you. And you get blessings from places that you didn't expect. And they show up at times you didn't expect them. And he keeps on coming through over and over and over again. Turn to one last place, because you need to see this as we talk about reaping the harvest. Turn to Isaiah 58. And this is the last place we will be. Because if you sow seeds of love, you will reap the harvest of love. The harvest of love is being established and rooted in God's love. And being established and rooted in God's love yields healing, wholeness, and growth in your life. It heals every broken place in your life. All because you chose to love like God loved and to receive God's love. If you're in Isaiah 58, slip down to verse number 8. Slip down to verse number 8. And all I want to do is drive home the significance of you and I loving with abandonment. Loving like God loved us. Loving with abandonment. In verse 8, my particular version starts with the word then. The reason it starts with the word then is because there have been some conditions set before it. It's almost like an if-then statement. If you do this, then this is what you will get. And so the greatest commandment, again, was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with your strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. And love of God must be expressed through action and not just words. Because God also declared, how can you claim that you love him whom you've never seen, but yet you don't love your brother or your sister whom you see every day? He said that it must be an expression and not just words. And so then when you get to verse number 8 and he's talking about the then, even though the context of the chapter is about fasting, the illustrations of it is really about loving. Because what he said about fasting was not this idea of you just giving up food. Fasting was this idea about you taking care of the poor. Fasting was this idea about you being just in your dealings. Fasting was about this idea about you being the kind of person who represents God well in a culture, even when they're not representing God well. He said, that's what fasting is that you're being true. Not just giving up food, but the way you act matters. And so he says, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now that's, I'm taking and I'm paraphrasing all of what comes before in verses 1-7. He says, if you do all these things, get to verse number 8, right? He says, then your light will break forth like the dawn. Ooh, look at that next part. And your healing will quickly appear. Oh, keep going. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Wow. Don't stop. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. He says, if you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk. Oh, you want me to read that sentence again? He said, if you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk. Okay, I'm going to read it slow. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, the pointing finger, and malicious talk. And if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, look at it again, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. Listen, I'm reading this, but I hope you know what this means is that this is the harvest of love. When you start talking about sowing seeds of love, this is what he starts talking about delivering. This is what you're going to get. You will light up dark places. You will be healed. Amen? Okay, I'm going to read a little bit more because I like it. He says, you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from going as you please on my holy day, and if you call the Sabbath a delight in the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, no idle words, right? Let me paraphrase that for you. He said that if you will not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and that on the Sabbath day you come and worship the Lord your God, that if you would keep him priority in your life and make him a point of worship in your life, he says, if you would do these things, then you will find your joy in the Lord. He says, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. Oh, you got to get this last part. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. And can I just tell you that every word that the mouth of the Lord declares comes to pass, because he does not speak idle words. And what the Bible says is that his word, he watches over it to see that it is performed, that it never returns to him empty or void, because it always accomplishes what he intended it to accomplish. And God says, if you will sow seeds of love, you will reap the harvest of love, which brings with it healing, wholeness, and growth. Amen. Can the people of God say amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege of being children in your family. We acknowledge that we're not perfect. But we're forgiven. We're forgiven, and we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that paved the way for us to enter into your presence and into your throne room. Thank you, Father, for what you do for us. It is beyond our comprehension, but yet we receive. Thank you for your love. And thank you for not putting demands upon us that you don't also provide us with the strength to accomplish. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name.